As our next guest that on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, Mr. Jack Ubeck is over in Qatar this morning or this afternoon where you are. How you doing, AJ?
Outstanding, guys. Yeah, just back at her. Two more games today. Just heading out for Portugal-South Korea right now, and then the late game for me, Serbia-Switzerland. So when I get to see the Swiss tonight, that'll be all 32 that I've seen in the tournament.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's great. All right, we'll talk about your life over in Qatar and how that's all been going in a little bit, but let's start with your thoughts. You went to all three of the Canadian matches, three losses, all in different ways. As you kind of wrap up your thoughts on Canada at the World Cup, what are you left with?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call the team a disappointment, but I would call what happened disappointing. I think it's fair to feel disappointment after what could have been, because I think Canada showed really good flashes at times in this tournament, but weren't able to put it all together. I think they put together 90 fantastic minutes against Belgium, deserved a better fate. They didn't get it. Then, you know, scored the first goal against Croatia, and historic goal for Canada, but, you know, kind of got overrun in midfield, got their tactics wrong, in my opinion, and paid for it against, to be fair, a really good Croatian side that I think has a really good chance of going deep into the tournament. And then, you know, last night's game, I can't really describe. Like, I've been to over 40 games in Europe. I've been to games in South America. I've seen Canada play in the Azteca Stadium in El Salvador, and that hostile atmosphere last night, I think it got to them early. I think that probably explains a little bit of the slow start. Now, a guy like Milan Borjan, who's played Champions League football, I mean, the Belgrade derby between Red Star and Partizan, and he plays for Red Star, is as passionate as any derby on the planet. So he should be used to that type of environment. But I thought they looked rattled early on. And, you know, I'll give them a lot of credit for the way they played in the last 60 minutes, because I thought they really battled. They deserve something towards the end. But when you make mistakes like that at this level, they're going to cost you. So, yeah, I don't think Canada is the 31st best team in this tournament. It's funny. I mean, we were hanging out with Australians before their game, and they're saying, I don't know how we're progressing and you're not. You guys are way better than us. That's kind of how it feels to a certain extent. I mean, when we go around and talk to different people who've been watching this tournament, they've been impressed with Canada, but little mistakes become big mistakes at this level. And in the end, combined with what I think has been top to bottom a pretty difficult group, you know, lessons learned for 2026 and a lot to build on.
AJ, thoughts on Herdman as far as lineups and tactical approach?
Yeah, you can't fault him for the first game for sure. And look, I'm a big John Herdman supporter. I think he did a fantastic job in getting this team to buy into a team concept, to buy into kind of we're all in this together, you know, not just as a group, but as an entire country. And so fantastic job through qualification and certainly before that. And I think he got things right the first game, just a little bit unlucky, but probably a little too much hubris on two accounts. Both in terms of his comments to the media, I don't know if that made a difference to the Croatian players or not, but you didn't need to poke the bear. And just in terms of the way they played, I think to line up that game with two in midfield and four attackers when you're up against, you know, maybe if not the best, still one of the best midfields on the planet, I think was a big, big mistake. And that was probably a little too much hubris. From my standpoint, I didn't love his starting 11. Now, it's easy to say that. It's easy to say you want Jonathan David in the starting lineup. Well, the guy's been playing week after week for Lille, and so you don't know exactly what type of fitness he had, and he was great off the bench yesterday. That was clearly his best game, but I would have liked Kone to start yesterday. You know, it seemed like Davies was playing in a new position every 10 minutes. You look at Ziyech and Hakimi, who are both fullbacks. Look, you know, if your best player is a fullback, it's not ideal, right? You'd like him to be a striker or a central midfielder, somewhere kind of spine of the field. But It's not like Morocco was playing Ziyech and Hakimi out of position, right? They're playing in their main positions. They were outstanding yesterday. So, yeah, there's some things to pick at. I'd like to see Herdman continue on. Look, if Carlo Ancelotti, who's one of the best coaches in the history of this sport and lives in Vancouver in the offseason, has won every league title in Europe in the major leagues. He's won multiple Champions Leagues. He's coaching Real Madrid. If Carlo Ancelotti comes calling and says, hey, I want to coach Canada in 2026, then I think you have to take that call. But beyond that, I'd like to see Herdman given the opportunity. There's going to be three major tournaments between now and the World Cup, two Gold Cups in 23 and 25. And it looks like Canada's probably going to be a part of an expanded Copa America in 2024. So there's going to be opportunities for him to show a little bit better. It's been a learning experience for him. So, you know, all things being equal, I think I'd like to see him continue on. But, again, there's probably with the talent that Canada has and the fact that they've already got a spot in the World Cup in 2026, if there are some struggles in the next couple of years, then maybe that call goes out to Carlo Ancelotti to see if he truly does want to manage his second home.
With AJ Jakubec, who's in Qatar, as an overall, I agree with much of what you said. How many of the players, that the frontline players, or even those that came off the bench at this World Cup, do you believe will be a part of the Canadian roster in 2026? Are we talking a majority of the players, a minority, a handful? What is that number? Because I want to kind of work that into, you know, everybody talks about, yeah, we didn't get a win, but boy, our guys got experience, and I don't know, like how many of those players are realistically going to be back in 4 years?
Well, the majority of the best ones are going to be back. I think that's the key, right? Alphonso Davies, Jonathan David, Tejon Buchanan, Stephen Aouchtakiou, and I haven't brought up Aouchtakiou yet. His brother Mauro played for the Fury for 3 years, and, you know, great family. You know, Davies might be our best player, but our most important player is Stephen Aouchtakiou, who's been in fantastic form at FC Porto in Portugal. They won their group in the Champions League, so they're in the round of 16, and he's been one of their best players and has been in fantastic form. And I think, you know, when you think of what could have been different, you think of, you know, if Aouchtakiou is healthy, because if he's playing 270 minutes, I think we're talking a bit of a different story. But, you know, that's the way it goes, right? There's other teams that have dealt with injuries, and Canada just doesn't have at this stage the same type of depth, even the same type of depth that a country like Morocco has. So I think, look, when you look up top and you look at Jonathan David, Alphonso Davies, and Tejon Buchanan, who really impressed, he really opened a lot of eyes for those that haven't seen him play, and he's also in the round of 16 when it comes to the Champions League with FC Bruges in Belgium. So with those players back, with Aouchtakiou, with Ismaël Koné, who's going to make a big move to Europe for sure after this competition, you've got a pretty good spine. I think the defense, and this is the area where, you know, I was most concerned going into qualification. Was Canada's defense good enough to get us to the World Cup? And in the end, they ended up having, I think, kind of the, you know, the sum was greater than the parts. And the fact that CONCACAF doesn't really have a lot of really, really dangerous attacking players, you know, they have the best defensive record in CONCACAF. But I think that masked some of the issues, and we saw those issues against better players and better teams, and they got punished for it. So that's where Canada certainly needs to develop some more players. Alistair Johnston's going to Celtic. That's a great move for him. Kamal Miller, I think, showed pretty well in this tournament for the most part, and would love to see him make a move from CF Montreal to Europe as well. So I do think there's a real good base here. But one of the exciting things is, I mean, 4 years ago we had four professional teams in this country. There were three in MLS and Ottawa Fury. Now you've got 11. And so if some of those MLS players like Johnston, like Kone, like Kamal Miller end up going to Europe, well, the backfill is going to be okay. Some of the Canadian Premier League players are going to then take their spots in Major League Soccer, and then, you know, that's how the pyramid goes, right? Like a guy like Balu Tabla, who was outstanding for Atletico Ottawa this past year. Like, no doubt he's going to make a move, whether it's to Europe, whether it's to Liga MX in Mexico, whether it's to Major League Soccer. And, you know, maybe in 4 years, he's a guy that we're talking about as well, because he was highly touted a few years ago. Didier Drogba was trying to get him to play for Ivory Coast, ended up choosing Canada, went to Barcelona, didn't work out in MLS, but he's still 23 years old, and he was one of the best players in the Canadian Premier League this past season. So I do think the base of talent is going to grow, and, you know, we should be able to see probably half of this roster return in 4 years, but the other half of the roster is going to have a lot more experience than what we have in the bottom half this time around.
All right, last one for you. How's life in Qatar? Like, I know you love soccer, I know you love going to all the games and everything, but you've been there for, what, 2 weeks now or thereabouts? I mean, have you had your fill, or like okay, bring it on, I'm ready for more, or what?
There are days. So Ben McCoy, there's four of us that came, and we met up with two others that we didn't know. So we ended up having a three-bedroom apartment for six of us. Now, Ben has gone home, and another of the guys has gone home. We just ended up switching from our three-bedroom to a two-bedroom. But yeah, it's one of those things. Like, there, within the last couple of days, there were times I was telling Ben, I'm like, I kind of wish I was going home with you. But then one of the things that's happened is, like, after some of the disappointments for Canada, for example, the loss that eliminated them against Croatia, the next day we got up, we ended up going to three games that day, and two of them were the African games, Serbia-Cameroon, which ended 3-3, and then Ghana-South Korea, which for me has been the best game of this tournament, and Ghana won that 3-2, and all of a sudden you're like, man, this is amazing. And that's exactly how last night felt. The disappointment of not getting a point, the disappointment of losing again to Morocco. We ended up going to Japan-Spain last night, and immediately you become energized, right? We're sitting with a bunch of Japanese fans and feeling their energy, and to see history made by them and another upset, it just energizes you. So, yeah, I've got nine games left, two today, five in the round of 16, and two quarterfinals. And, you know, there are days, like, I've done a lot of traveling, as you guys know, and, you know, once you get weeks into a trip, there are days where you think, geez, I might want to go home. And then there's days where, like, I'm standing outside the metro station right now, it's about 28 degrees, and I'm thinking, I'm going to nine World Cup games here in the next week or so, and there's what? I don't know how much snow is on the ground, but probably a lot more than here, so, no, I'm going to make the most of it here. Certainly missed my girlfriend and, you know, missed some certain things about home, but, yeah, no, this is, it's been a pretty amazing trip. The pros have definitely outweighed the cons, and looking forward to what this last week is going
to
bring.
Well, JR is here to dig out your car when you arrive. And with only three bedrooms and three beds, have you found a regular snuggle partner? Was Ben your spoon guy, or what was going on here?
So here's the deal. So we had our last place, like I said, we had three bedrooms, and it was two double beds and then one with two single beds. So the two guys that we didn't know, we said, okay, you guys can have the room with the two singles. So I was rooming with Tyler McDonald. And poor Tyler, last night, basically middle of the night, I grabbed one of his pillows subconsciously, thinking that, oh, it was just an extra pillow hanging there.
Oh, that's planes, trades, and automobiles right there.
Yeah, and he's like, what the bleep are you doing here? So, needless to say, I'm actually rooming with the other new guy, Reza, from Calgary, and they're in the double bed. So Tyler gets a break from me now, and I've got my own single bed the last few days here.
I want, just because it's a long distance line here, you said you grabbed one of his toes. Toes is what you said?
Pillows.
Okay. All right. Okay, good. All right. I didn't think I heard that right. Okay. All right.
Yeah, no. We each have two pillows, and I'm used to sleeping in a bed with four pillows, and it's just me, and sometimes I just reach over in the middle of the night. I want another pillow.
Those aren't pillows. All right. We'll leave it there, because you got a busy day ahead of you today with more games ahead. Sounds like you're having a great trip, so enjoy the rest of it, and we'll look forward to chatting with you again down the road.
By the way, they're trying to get me to if you watch any Japan games going forward, and they'll be playing Croatia, obviously, in the round of 16. They're trying to get me to tell the story. So one last story here. So we were sitting at like probably 5 seats away from a guy who was whistling the entire game, the second game against Costa Rica. And you had some fans in our section that were really mad at this guy, but a lot of people were standing up for him. And by halftime, people were starting to get pictures taken with him. So guy's a bit of a kind of local legend here. So we're at the game yesterday, and I swear, like, he was probably 10 sections away, and you could hear this guy loud and clear and the whistling. So if you're listening to Japan, yeah, and you hear the other team with the ball and you hear some guy whistling nonstop, that's the guy.
That's your buddy.
Local legend. Yeah, and we're having a pretty good laugh about that one. A lot of good laughs here for sure. It's been a great trip. Yeah.
That's the Japanese Roger Whittaker. I mean, that should be applauded, AJ.
All right, good stuff. All right, enjoy the games, my friend.
Okay, thanks, guys.